Hi, good evening. It's 8 o'clock in Yerushalayim, and we're going to learn a little bit about the Parsha of Balak. What interests us especially are the characters of the two leading personalities in the Parsha, Balak and Bilam. Balak is a regular sort of bad guy who wants to do in Bnei Yisrael. And realizing that he doesn't have the power to do it on his own, he enlists the aid and support of Bilam. Now, Bilam is a bad guy, but he's also a true prophet. And that's where we get a little bit stymied. How could such a bad guy be a true prophet of God? I mean, I know that there are attempts to answer this question in Chazal, but for me, the question remains a question. How could it be? How could it be that Bilam, the prophet to the Goyim, would be a major performer in this story, in this parasha? Now, we know that he was really and truly a bad guy. Because at the end of the parasha, he suggests, after failing to curse the Jews, to say things about them that were terrible, after he only was able to respond in God's language about the quality of Bnei Yisrael, he makes a suggestion to Balak, and he says, send in the girls. Let them entice the Jews away from God, and in the direction of Avodah Zarah, of idolatry. Imagine that. The man who is trying to, and he was successful. He's successful. The girls were successful. The people were not able to maintain the standard that they were being asked to maintain. He almost caused the complete destruction of Am Yisrael, and he was in fact in cahoots with Balak, who does not come off quite as badly as Bilam, but he was a partner in everything that Bilam did. In fact, he directed him. Bilam starts off the story by saying, I can only go with you to Balak's messengers. I'll only go with you if God agrees. I can't do anything against what God wants. And then he goes against what God wants. Not only, and then he is trapped by heaven and forced to say things that only a true prophet, a prophet of Israel, would say. The most famous line, Matovu Ohalecha Yaakov, which sounds like something that Bilam would never have wanted to say, and something that Balak would never have sent him to say. So you have this difficult topic. Who was Balak and who was Bilam? And I can't answer that question tonight in its entirety, but we can look at a Gemara, which might give us some advance understanding of this problem. The Gemara is in Brachot of Yud Bet Amud Bet, and it's on the sheet. If you have a sheet, it's right there at the top. If you don't have a sheet, you could look at the Gemara, if you have a Gemara. If you don't have a Gemara, you could memorize Masechet Brachot, and then you'll know it without a doubt. And if you don't think you could do that, make sure you get a sheet for the next year. So, Daf Yud Bet, Masechet Brachot, Daf Yud Bet, Amud Bet. This is what it says. I'm reading from the sheet. Omar Avi Abahu Ben Zutriti, an Emora. Omar Rabbi Yehuda Bar Zvida. There were two traditions about the following statement, which in the Gemara, traditions are very important in the Gemara. Bikshu likvoa parashat Balak bekriyat Shema. This is something that was for years so hard for me to understand. Bikshu likvoa parashat Balak. Parashat Balak is our parasha this week. What we're going to learn here in Shul, if we go to Shul. Parashat Balak bekriyat Shema. What does that mean? What do you mean, Bikshu likvoa parashat parasha? In there. I mean, what does it mean? What did they want to do? Bikshu likbo means somebody wanted to change things. And the way they wanted to change things was likbo parashat balak bekriyat shema. So you know there's a mitzvah in the Torah to say kriyat shema every day. We say kriyat shema twice a day. But there's a mitzvah to say it, b'shachbicha u'b'kumecha, when you go to sleep and when you get up in the morning. There's a special mitzvah to say. So what is the mitzvah? What is it that I'm supposed to say? Well, I think you're supposed to say that one pasuk. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That's what you're supposed to say. That's what you're supposed to say. Now Chazal understood, or the people who were in charge of Tfilot, Anshei Knesset HaGdola, the Tanaim that came after the Churban Beit HaMikdash, they were in charge of finalizing davening. And the two major Tfilot that they addressed themselves to were Kriyat Shema and Shmona Esrei. So we're talking now about Kriyat Shema, and you can see, everybody could see, that if the mitzvah was to say one pasuk, there'd been a lot of add-ons. Well, just remind ourselves of the add-ons to Kriyat Shema. There's a paragraph. This is the first paragraph after the pasuk, says Vahavta Hashem Elokecha. It's a kind of a clarification. Hashem Echad. But the mitzvah is v'ahavta. Holy Yod, it could be that paragraph is also part of the Doraita. Or it could be. Let's say it is. It doesn't really matter, because once it becomes formalized as part of what we are supposed to say, so it's like a Doraita. It is a Doraita. It's like a Doraita. It doesn't really matter. So the paragraph started with the words v'ahavta at Hashem Elokecha b'chol lebavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol ma'odecha. That paragraph is the first add-on to the pasuk of Shema Yisrael, which meant that the kiyum ha-mitzvah, to perform the mitzvah properly, you have to not only think about Hashem Echad, but you also have to think about Ra'avta, Hashem Elokecha. The next paragraph is a longer paragraph, but it's a paragraph which is about Sechar Ve'onesh. About Sechar Ve'onesh. If you're good, it'll rain. If you're bad, it won't rain. Right? That's like a world that we live in. We live in a world of Sechar Ve'onesh. The third paragraph is the Parashah of Tzitzit, which discusses the fact that you have to wear tzitzit, men have to wear tzitzit. And that means that you have to always be aware of the fact that we're under the authority of Taryag Mitzvot. Right? Tzitzit somehow equals Taryag Mitzvot, and that's what we're talking about. So you say, what was added on to the mitzvah of Shema? V'ahavta? Right, v'ahavta, sechar v'onesh, reward and punishment. And the third thing that was added on was tzitzit, representing all the mitzvot of the Torah. So Chazal understood that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of kriyat shema b'shach b'cha v'kumecha, in order to fulfill that mitzvah, say it properly, you have to also be able to think about these topics that are part of my faith in Hashem Echad. I believe Hashem Echad. Now, what does that mean? I mean, after all, Echad, oneness, is something that I don't experience in my everyday life. If I have a table, so it's, I could have two tables that look exactly the same. There's nothing that I deal with that represents oneness. So what is it that gives me the confidence that Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, what gives me the confidence that I know that? So Chachamim said, first of all, v'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha. What is v'ahavta? You love God. You know that there was an active principle that Chazal used, and that was that what we do is done back at us. There's a midah keneged midah. There's a tit for tat in the way the world was created. And I know that I can love God because I know God loves me, in the sense that good things happen to Am Yisrael, some bad things, but mostly good things happen to Am Yisrael. That's the first thing I know. Secondly, I know that the world is a world of sachar va'onesh. A world of sachar va'onesh means if I do good, then I'll profit from it. And if I do bad, I will be punished by it. And the third thing I know about God is that God's will is expressed in the Taryag Mitzvot, in all of the Mitzvot. So Chazal decided, that's what they decided, that a person, to fulfill the Mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, to be able to, with confidence, say to himself and to all those around him, Hashem Echad, what is it that he has to think about that will bring him to that stage? It's Miriam, it's over there. In the printer. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Again,
yeah.
The Chachamim thought that in order for you to be able to say that impossible statement, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, because we have no way of actualizing the Hashem Echad part of that sentence. I mean, we don't know. We don't have that kind of knowledge about God. Hashem Echad. So the Chachamim said that what you have to do is think about Ahava, the love that we have for God, and the potential, like there's a certain kind of knowing through Ahava. I know something. I can love. I can't love something that's totally different than I am, that is not connected to me, that doesn't have any kind of relationship to me. The second thing I know about Hashem Echad is that he created a world of sachar va'onesh. V'yan shmo tishmeu, continue, v'chara'af, etc. That God runs the world sachar va'onesh, reward and punishment. We know that. We see it. We've thought about it. It's something that we can grasp, that our minds can grasp. The third thing that we know is that God made the world a world of mitzvot. Mitzvot are entry level to understanding who God might be, what God wants of us. It's all in the mitzvot if you could just understand them clearly, if you can understand them clearly. And so we see, this is what the point that I was trying to make, is that Chazal had to decide, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, in order to be able to say Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, which is actually impossible, it's impossible to say, it doesn't mean anything to me. I don't know what Hashem Echad means. So Chazal, in a kind of interpretive mode, said, you have to add on. You have to add on Vahavta, Vayam Shamoa, and the Mitzvah Tzitzit. Because those three paragraphs enable me to understand what Hashem Echad might be. That's what gets me. That's what get it to me. So let's look at the Gemara again. The Amoraim say Bikshu Likbo Parashat Balak Bikriyat Shema, assuming that Parashat Balak means the entirety of the Parashat Balak, assuming that. What they wanted you to do when you daven every morning and when you say Kriyat Shema every evening, they want you to also sit down and say the whole parasha of Balak. Because the parasha of Balak said to them, the Gemara doesn't say what it is exactly, but the parasha of Balak will continue in a moment, but the parasha of Balak says something which clarifies the Hashem Echad. So that's the pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara says the Amoraim told the following story that when they organized the davening and they added on these paragraphs to the kiyum, to the actuality of saying Kriyat Shema, and they said, no, to say Kriyat Shema, you have to have interpretation. These paragraphs, they're also Torah Shebichtav, they're also in the Torah, but they are, in fact, interpretations of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And another good interpretation would be Parashat Balak. So to understand what the Hava meaning was, what it was that the Chachomim were talking about, that we're going to include Parashat Balak means, I guess, after these three paragraphs, after Tzitzit, you just have the Parashat Balak every day, every morning, every evening, saying Balak. The parasha of Balak. So what is it in Balak that made the parasha of Balak a candidate as an add-on to Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad? That's the question of parashanut. But the Gemara does relate to that to a certain extent. So the Gemara asks the other question. If they wanted to, well, why didn't they? Why didn't they just tell everybody to say the parasha of Balak every day, morning and night, when they said Kriyat Shema? Mishum Torah Tzibur. Torah Tzibur means it would have been oppressive for the entirety of the congregation to sit there and say all of the parasha of Balak. Okay? So they didn't do it. But the Gemara now asks the question, My Talmud. So what is it about the Parsha of Balak that is so impressive that the Chachamim wanted to put it into Kriyat Shema, make it part of Kriyat Shema? Ilema Meshum Dechtiba, maybe it's because Dechtiba El Motziyam Mitzrayim, El Motziyam Mitzrayim. Maybe it's because of that pasuk. El Motziyam, God took them out of Mitzrayim. That's what Bilam said. Lema Parashat Ribitu Parashat Mishkelot, Dechtiba Hem Yitziyat Mitzrayim. So you see the two psukim, right? You see, by Yikra, Perek Yutet, Pasuk Lamed Vav, it says, Mos Neit Zedek, Vav Neit Zedek. You should have weights that are honest. V'hin Zedek Yelechem, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Hotzeiti Itchem Eretz Mitzrayim. So if you wanted a Pasuk that mentioned Yitziyat Mitzrayim, here's a Pasuk that mentioned Yitziyat Mitzrayim. And the source that follows that is about Neshech and Tarbit, that you shouldn't take you shouldn't take interest of money that you loaned. Right, that the pasuk Lamed Chet, the last pasuk of this trilogy, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hoceiti Itchem Eretz Mitzrayim Uteit Lachem Eretz Kenan Liot Lachem Elohim. So you have to explain it this way. What does Yitzhak Mitzrayim have to do with Shema Yisrael? Well, Yitzhak Mitzrayim tells you. Yitzhak Mitzrayim tells you that God rules the world, that God can do anything in the world. So that is part of understanding. That's part of understanding what God is for us. What God is for us. So back to the Gemara. If you look at the Gemara, it says, "My Tamo, Ile Modekhtiba El Motziya Mimitzrayim." Maybe it's because Bilam said, we know that God is the one who took them out of Mitzrayim, meaning that God controls the world. And that's why you want to put in the parasha of Balak? So you say, okay, but that's why quote 100 psukim when there are other psukim in the Torah that mention Yitziat Mitzrayim? Right? The second line, Lema Parashat Ribit, we talk about usury, Uparashat Mishkalo, honest weights, Dichtiba on Yitziat Mitzrayim. They also mention Yitziat Mitzrayim, and that would only be one pasuk or three psukim at most. And here you say we should quote the entirety of Parashat Balak. Okay, Ela Omar Rabbi Yossi Bar Avin. So it's not because of Yitziat Mitzrayim. So Rabbi Yossi Bar Avin says, Mishum Dichtiv Ba, High Crow, because the following posuk is found there. Kara Shachav Ka'ari Uchalevi Miyikibeno. Right, there's Kara Shachav, right, there's a time of Shchiva, Ka'ari, like a lion. And he rises up like a young lion. So maybe that's what it is. Maybe in the parasha of Balak, there's an actual reference to Kriyat Shema. This is what are they doing when they bow down or they get up? That's B'nai Yisrael. Jesus. Well, it must be Kriyat Shema. Maybe that's what it is. V'lema Haipsuka Vitolo. So if that's the case, then they should have added on to Kriyat Shema just that pasuk. Why does it say Bikshu Likvo Parshat Balak? What do you need the whole parsha for? What do you need the whole parsha for? In other words, there is this tradition that is represented in the Gemara, that besides the three paragraphs that we have as an addition to Shmona Esrei, there should have been a fourth, either a pasuk or a paragraph, that would tell me that God was responsible for Yitziat Mitzrayim, because that tells me something essential about God, and that essential thing is that God controls the universe that God created. That's what we learn from that pasuk. And so Chachamim said, put that pasuk. Why'd they say parsha? The Gemara asks, right? We're too low. Gemire, we learned. Kol parasha de paska Moshe Rabbeinu, paskinan, de lo pasak Moshe Rabbeinu, lo paskinan. So there's some kind of a problem that we had about taking a pasuk out of context and only using part of the pasuk or part of the section. So we don't want to do that. We still haven't the answer of what the parsha of Balak would have been good for. Okay, the next line in the Gemara, Parshat Tzitzit Mipnei Makiva Uha. So why put in the parasha of Tzitzit at all? It's not about Shema, it's not about Hashem Echad, It's not about God's dominion in the world. Omar Rabbi Yehuda bar Chaviva b'bnei sheyesh ba chamisha divarim. The parsha of Tzitzit, the third parsha in Kriyat Shema, has five topics. Mitzvah Tzitzit, Yitziat Mitzrayim, my first, the mitzvah Tzitzit, the exodus from Mitzrayim, all mitzvot, the fact that mitzvot are difficult, it's difficult to be a mitzvah doer without minim, that minim, the opinion of those who defile the Torah, hirhur aveira, thinking about transgression, vihirhur avodah zarah. The Gemara then goes on and says, "Bishloma hani tlat mifarshan." Three of them are clearly stated. Three of the five: Ol mitzvot tichtiv reitem oto, uschartem et kol mitzvotat tzitzit tichtiv atzulem tzitzit v'gomer, yisiat b'tzraim tichtiv atzoratzeti v'gomer ela dat minim behira avera wera ve. Where do these, all of these other three things come from? The Tanya, Acherei Livavchem Zominus, V'cheinu Omer, Amar Naval Belibo, Ein Elohim. Acherei Neichem, Zehirhur Avirash Neemar, V'yom Shimshon El Aviv, Oto Kachli, Ki Hi Yisra Be'edai. Atem Zonim, Zehirhur Abu Dazara. Okay, the second part of these lines in the Gemara indicate that the mitzvah tzitzit is not only about tzitzit, but it's about all the major chiyuvim, obligations and transgressions that are connected to the Torah. So I don't know if we have an answer from the Gemara. The Gemara says that Chazal wanted to do something, and they decided not to do it. Right? The Gemara says, why did they decide not to do it? They said, because it was too much of a burden. It would make too much of a burden for Bnei Yisrael to say the parsha of Balak every time they said Kriyat Shema. So Chazal decided not to do it. But if I was looking for a reason to include the parsha of Balak, right, so I told you that the Parsha Balak is actually the end of the Parsha is a little bit of an embarrassment, because Bilam, even though he could not curse the Jews, he could not act against God's will in spite of the fact that he tried. But at the end he advised Balak to send the young girls to seduce the men of Yisrael and direct them towards Avodah Zarah, towards idolatry. And that, I don't think, was what the Chazal wanted to include. That's not what they were talking about. But what they were talking about, what Chazal were talking about, was the fact that you can't prophesy against God. You just can't. It just doesn't work. And so the parasha of Balak tells us something about the connection between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Bnei Yisrael. And that is that connection is always positive. It doesn't mean that good things always happen to the Jewish people. There is, after all, the notion of sechar va'onesh, of reward and punishment. Punishment is usually something that is difficult to bear. But the Chachamim said, there's a limit. God's connection to Bnei Yisrael is permanent after a certain limit is passed. That limit is an attempt to convince God to deny his connection to Bnei Yisrael. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hashem Echad means God's promise is always there. God's connection is always there. It doesn't matter how bad things are and how much punishment we deserve, the relationship is never torn asunder. And that's what Chazal meant to say. They said, do you want to know what Hashem Echad is? You really have to learn the parasha of Balak. And that idea doesn't change because they decided not to put the parasha of Balak into Kriyat Shema. Okay, they didn't do it for a technical reason. They said it was too difficult to say, too many words, too many sections, too many ideas. But the idea, the proper definition of Hashem Echad includes the parasha of Balak, at least until the end, the disgraceful part of the parasha. The idea that the parasha of Balak explains something about Hashem Echad, but how we are supposed to look at it, how we're supposed to act with Hashem Echad. All of that is true. It stays. I mean, it's true also that the parasha of Balak was not included. But okay, but it could have been included. And so when we learn the parasha, when you learn the parasha of Balak, now you're coming, you know, up for Shabbos, there's always something for everybody to learn. So that's what you're looking for. You're looking for why the Chachamim wanted to include the parasha of Balak in Kriyat Shema. There's a section of the Sfat Emet. We'll learn a little bit of it. I'm reading. Amru Chazal, he quotes the Gal Gemara, Bikshu Likvoa, Parashat Balak B'Kriyat Shema. That's what the Gemara says. Bishum Dichtiv Hein Am Kila B'Yekum, because there is that pasuk about the lion getting up and going down. Pirusho Adoni Morius Keni, right? You know the Sfas Emes talking about his grandfather. Ki Ikar Shibchan Shel B'nei Yisrael Shehem Miuchadim Rak La'avodat HaBorei Yitbarach. The grandfather said that B'nei Yisrael have this special affinity to serve God. It's not something that anybody can do, but it's something that B'nai Yisrael have an affinity for. L'chein b'kumo miyad choteif ha-mitzvah, b'kumo miyad, he gets up, and from the hands of the one who grabs onto the mitzvah, the korei kriyat shema, v'ratzu chazal likboa zot b'Yisrael, they wanted to make sure that we understood that our inclination, the way we are built, the way we are, is to do avodat haborei, service of the Lord, which means the mitzvot. That's why we were created. This is the amzu yatzarti. And there's a pasuk for bar mitzvah. Amzu yatzarti. That's when you become a real person. Uve emet inyan amram zrizim makdimim the mitzvot. That's what they said. That people who are able to, who are facile, they get up early and they do mitzvot. That's early in the morning. So according to the Sfat Emet, every person has this inclination that Avraham Avinu had. You remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, go and sacrifice your son, at least that's what it sounded like. And then the Torah says, Veishkem Avraham Baboker, that Avraham Avinu got up early and saddled his own donkey or horse or whatever it was, right, in order to fulfill the mitzvah more, with greater energy, with greater hope. That's what Avraham Avinu was supposed to do, and that's who we are. That's who we are. That's what the Hashem Echad doesn't only mean, according to the, doesn't only mean that God created the world, or has dominion over the world, but that God created the DNA of the world, the way we are, the inclinations that we have. And the way we are is the way of Avraham Avinu, that the Ovos somehow adjusted the DNA in a particular way. Now, according to the Ovos, getting up early in the morning to do a mitzvah, or doing the mitzvah early in the evening, if it's a mitzvah that you do at night, was something that was ingrained in us. That's how we are. And that's what you learn again from the parasha of Balak, that in the end of the days, Bilam was not a proper representative of God. He was not able to give that idea over to others. And because he was unable to give that idea over to others, he failed. He failed. He was only able to succeed in something that had to do with Gashmiut, and his success was also temporary. It was also temporary, because eventually his curses became blessings, and even the women who seduced the men of Israel were in turn punished, and the people of Israel who followed that way were also punished. So you see that what the add-on of the Sfat Emet is, that there is some kind of internal mechanism that maintains Am Yisrael separate, different from the other nations of the world. And what they are able, what they do is they have an inclination. He goes on later on and talks about an inclination to Kedusha. It's not that if you do a lot of mitzvahs that you achieve the level of Kedusha, but the Kedusha is something that comes from within you, and then it becomes part of you. And that's what the... So if we started off asking, what did Chazal think? Why did they want to put the Parsha Balak into Shemona Esrei? So we understand why the Chachamim added Parshiyot to Shemona Esrei. And we also understand that within the notions of learning about God and what God, Hashem Echad, means, those Parshiyot were instructive. Furthermore, we could say that the Parsha of Balak would have been similarly instructive, but Chazal did not want to burden us with an extra parasha as long as the parasha of Balak. Have a wonderful Shabbat. All the best. Be well.
What happened? Goya. I'm going up.